Good morning. We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you are blessed by this ministry, gifts may be given to the same address of 333 South Chestnut Street. Today, we have some birthdays going on. So on 12/14, we have Lane Stewart. 12/16, we got Dale Wickman celebrating a birthday. 12/17, we have Sandy Hall, and on 12/18, we have Larry Shade. Our flowers this morning are provided by Judy Wickman in honor of Dale's birthday, and our radio is sponsored by Troy and Terry Nicholson in honor of Kason and Ellery. We have a few radio announcements today. Tonight, our church, Trinity, is having a community lantern walk, starting here at 333 South Chestnut Street, and we'll be walking to Crossroads Park. We'll leave the church here around 5:40 p.m. If you don't want to walk, then just meet us at the park at 6. It'll be an evening of caroling and music, and the music will be provided by Georgianne Coons. Refreshments will also be offered. Please join us in celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. On Saturday, December 18th, Trinity is offering our free community Christmas meal from 5 to 7 p.m. Please come join us once again at 333 South Chestnut Street for a delicious meal and fellowship. Finally, on Friday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, we will offer our Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. Please join us here for our candlelight service with lots of music and a drama of Mary and Joseph.
Amazing choir singing, "There Is a Song in the Air." Choir. And I'd like to remind you to bring your children and grandchildren to practice for the children's choir next week. Our scripture this week, read by Cassie, is Luke 2, 8 through 14.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was not room for them in the inn. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This morning's sermon will be entitled, "Celebrate Christmas with the Shepherds," by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
2 weeks ago, we spent some time with John the Baptist preparing the way for Advent. We explored three things that I believe John would say to us if he were present here this season. Make Jesus the theme of your life. Make Jesus the passion of your heart. And make Jesus the gauge of your success. How do you gauge success? On what you're trying to accomplish in life? Is your success defined by dollar signs or numbers? Destination? A particular accomplishment? Maybe a relationship? We live in a success-driven world. Have you really thought about how to measure success? Maybe we should let the way that Jesus changes hearts and lives define success. Last week, we heard a few thoughts from Mary, the mother of Jesus. Three statements that she would be likely to make if she were to celebrate Christmas with us this season. One, let Christ be formed in you. Two, let Christ be praised by you. And three, let Christ be revealed through you. Our conclusion was pretty amazing, that we are no different than Mary. Christ can be formed within us. And the more we praise him, the more he is revealed through us. Today we're going to have an amazing opportunity to have Christ revealed in us. As we walk and we sing carols, as we begin a new tradition for Seymour, we have the opportunity to share God's light and love, to share the real light that lights the world in these dark times. I absolutely love what you all have put together with the Christmas caroling. Today we get to hear from the shepherds. Based upon what we know about these men from Luke's record, we can identify three rather big ideas that the shepherds would likely share with us if they were present here today. If they could sit down and chat with us. It may help to know just a little bit about shepherds. Once upon a time, being a shepherd was a noble calling. But as Israel became more and more of an agricultural town, that calling sort of dwindled just a little bit, and their presence was not nearly as important. Quite a while ago, nobody would think twice about taking on the profession of tending sheep. It was no longer as respected as it once was. But long before Jesus' birth, Jews had become skeptical about the shepherds. I mean, they roamed everywhere. They didn't talk much to anybody. Of course, if you're one that would rather speak to the animals versus people, you'd kind of keep to yourself a little bit too. Shepherding was a very difficult life. They slept out in the open, in the wilderness, everywhere they went, no matter what type of weather they had. They often had to find adequate food and water for themselves and for the sheep. Frequently, they had to dig their own wells or tote water with them to provide for their sheep. They slept outside in every kind of weather, and the sheep, they were something too. They tended to stray and get lost, and the shepherds had to go after them. Don't we tend to do that as sheep? We tend to stray, and our shepherd, Jesus, has to come after us. They were sick and injured sheep that the shepherds had to tend and take care of. And then there were baby lambs that need to be delivered. These men worked hard, but there were also long periods of boredom. Then the boredom would be pierced by moments of excitement or even moments of terror as the sheep were attacked by lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! But just as we have heard the stories of David defending his flock, he killed the bear. He killed the lion. These shepherds defended their flock the same as Jesus defends, cares for, heals, and tends us. Luke 2:18-14. And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. The shepherds were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel and began praising God and saying, "Glory to God on the highest. Glory to God in the highest of heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Have you ever noticed that our good and mighty God loves symbolism? There is symbolism on almost every single page of the Bible. Jesus multiplied the fish and bread and fed it to the flock and then said, "I am the bread of life." He attended the Feast of Tabernacles during a ceremonial drawing of water and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. He is the living water." There are examples all throughout the Old and the New Testament of him being the sacrifice provided by God to realign us, to bring us into right alignment with a good and holy God. For a good and holy God cannot stand before sin. Nor is it coincidental that I believe that God used lowly shepherds. God, throughout the history of time, has used broken vessels lowly people. He does not use the cream of the crop. He does not use royalty. He does not use warriors. He uses those who have committed previous sins and fallen on their face and begged for forgiveness. He uses those who have a speech impediment. He uses those that are unsure of themselves. For it is His light that rises up in us and shines out to the world. There is no way I could be up here without Jesus having dropped me to my knees. See, like the shepherds, I didn't want to be in front of anybody. I didn't really want to talk to much of anybody. But God worked long and hard on me, and He took somebody who was invisible and used them as His mouthpiece, as His servant. And when you look through the Old Testament, the man after God's own heart, David, was the one who had committed every sin that there was. But he constantly cried out to his Father, his Lord, for forgiveness. He constantly cried out to God, asking to be cleansed, to be renewed. He constantly asked, in other words, let your light shine through me. And then there was Solomon. We read through a lot of the Old Testament, but especially Ecclesiastes, you hear Solomon's heart being broken. He tried everything to make himself happy, when in truth, what he needed was what he asked God for when he was newly appointed. Give me wisdom by which to lead your people. And that wisdom was his light unto the world. Nor is it coincidental, I believe, that this happened at night, that the angel and the choir of angels came to the shepherd in the middle of the night. The whole world was in darkness, a deep, deep spiritual darkness, resulting from centuries of silence from God. 400 years without a fresh word to God. I go crazy when it's been a few weeks and I don't feel like God's speaking to me. 400 years, there was a deep, dark silence. Religion had become more and more cultural and less spiritual. Does that sound familiar? We're in that same spiritual darkness here today. Sadly, priests had become little more than politicians, and religious leaders had turned God's law into a ridiculous list of rules that they could bend and twist at their own purposes. Back in the Dark Ages, the kings and the priests worked together to control people. The worst thing that could ever happen to someone was to be excommunicated. Do not have your children blessed, dedicated, baptized in the church, not to receive the holy rite of unction upon death. It became more of a political game than a deep spiritual fulfillment the way that it was meant to be. And suddenly a light pierced the darkness of Judea. A terrifying, glorious light appeared, a light that changed everything forever. The shepherd's night, Israel's night, the world's night, was lit ablaze with the good news of Christmas. Today, in a town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. If the shepherds were here this morning, I cannot help but believe they would say to us, let the good news of Christmas light shine into your night. What darkness has crept into your heart? Is it fear? Guilt? anger or bitterness, shame, loneliness, despair? What currently prevents you from experiencing Christmas light to the fullest? Has some situation in your life dragged your soul into the night? If so, all we have to do is offer that up to God and ask Him to take it. Sometimes there are periods of darkness that we need to walk through and we don't feel like we hear God. 400 years, they didn't hear God. Every major prophet, every patriarch has gone through a time of darkness. But when we turn to the Word of God, especially when we turn to the Christmas story, we have a light that produces warmth. We have a light that produces change. We have a light that works in us from the inside out, changing our very nature. Sometimes, if you're like me, in spite of yourself, it changes your very nature. Christmas is for you. The angel said, I bring good news, great joy for all people. Are you a people? Do you fit into that category? Then Christmas is for you. I know you all have heard hundreds of Advent and Christmas messages. So today, what I ask is not that you look at my words, not that you look at what I present to you. I ask what I ask of you all the time. Get into the Word yourself. Get in there and read that Christmas story with a new perspective. With the perspective that that light can indeed drive out all darkness in your life. Here are a couple of Bible verses that you may wish to jot down. Isaiah 9:2, John 1:4, and John 1:9. I am quite sure that you are familiar with Isaiah 9:6. If not, our response song will ensure that you remember it throughout this season. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful verse. So long before Jesus was ever born, Isaiah is looking into the future here. And just four verses up, Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. All of this before the fact. I absolutely love how much our God loves us that He has orchestrated and put everything together. 900 years before the birth of Christ, not only did we hear that He would come to a virgin, not only did we hear that He would become a broken reed, we heard of His personality. We heard glorious words, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Isaiah spoke these words into fruition, for they were given to him directly by the Father. Our lives can become very dark at times. John 1:9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 1:4, In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This, beloved, describes Christmas. our lives can be very dark at times. The people that we love most disappoint us and hurt us. Our financial resources seem to evaporate just like that, right before our eyes. News of medical tests come in, and there are words spoken into our lives that we have never wanted to hear. Sometimes our own weakness and failures may drag us into dilemmas that scar and even wreck our highest hopes and dreams for our life. Most of the things that we love and we lean on are fragile, and they collapse, leaving us staring hopelessly into the darkness of disappointment and pain. But in our darkest moments, God wants to make sure that the words of Isaiah are a deep reality in our hearts. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That, beloved, is the Christmas light. Today, as we walk through our community, singing the beloved carols and holding beautiful little lanterns, remember that that light lives in you and shines forth from you. If we could put the light of Christmas into words, it would sound something like this. God loves you. God has not abandoned nor forsaken you. God has not forgotten you. God has a good plan for your life. God is on the move. You may not like his timing. You may not approve of his plan. But I think we can all agree in faith that even when we don't like the plan, that if we hold on to his hand and trust him, that he gets us through. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, there is nothing that I could imagine, dream up, plan out meticulously that could possibly compare to the goodness of what God's plan is for my life. Sometimes it takes twists and turns getting there, but we get there indeed. I'm all for the warm fuzzies of Christmas. You know, the Kincaid postcards and puzzles. The snow softly falling at night. Warm glow of candles. A smell of fresh baked goods in the air. Well, sorry, Mr. Kincaid. That's not always Christmas. Sometimes Christmas is more like not having the money to keep the bills on, having sick children, having children fight with one another. We've all experienced that. You're trying to get ready for church. You're trying to be all, oh, it's Christmas cheer. And the kids are duking it out. Or if your kids are anything like mine, I had four of them. By the time I got all four of them dressed in their snow gear, somebody was throwing off their clothes. And I was screaming and saying things that I shouldn't have said. Here is a simple, life-changing prayer that I believe the shepherds would have us to pray this day. Oh Lord, I bring you into my life today. I am not content to just know or to just hear the Christmas story. I want to deeply and personally know you. Let's pick up the story again in verses 17 through 20. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Remember, these shepherds were outdoor men, loners, not really people persons. A person like me, who's a people person, would go stark raving mad in the middle of nowhere, night after night, day after day, tending sheep that are wandering off and doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't do. But if you put a shepherd up here, he would become frightfully nervous. Hand him a microphone and he would freeze up. If you wanted a really important message to go out to the world, would you choose an inarticulate, smelly shepherd? Our God did, because that's who he is. Our God chooses people just like you and I to bring the message into the world. Cracked vessels, sinners, lowly shepherds. Moses stuttered. Do you see what God did that night, the night that Jesus Christ was born? He brought an angel to a group of shepherds and had them to go tell the world. He removed yours and mine excuses that we can't share the love of Jesus, that Jesus cannot shine through us. If the lowly shepherds could articulate and share this news first, surely you and I could. Don't keep Jesus all to yourself. Let that light shine. Let the good news of Christmas flow from your life. With the shepherds, let us pray. Oh Lord, inspire me with the good news of Christmas until it cannot help but to show through every aspect of my life. These beautiful little lights, they're amazing. Today we have opportunity to just let him shine through us as we sing and walk. Simple, isn't it? But when we're done, I will guarantee you that you will feel different. You will be filled with the light and love of Christmas. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we open our hearts to your light. The light of Christmas that shines through the darkest of nights. We bring our lives to you today. We are not content to just know the Christmas story. We want to deeply know you, the Christ of Christmas. Inspire us with the good news of Christmas until we cannot help but show through our lives to a world that so desperately needs your light. Give us the spirit of the shepherds as we celebrate this Christmas season. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, the light of the world. Amen.